All right, there it is. Yeah, you can go ahead and get it rolling. That thing is the camera. We're working on it so we don't have to use the phones as cameras. We'll move out of that next week. Yeah, cameras are just the little things there. Oh yeah, y'all can just watch it. You don't have to look here, you just look at the screen. Yeah. Big disappointment when you get behind the curtain. All right, we're in Matthew. Yes. Great job. Give that table a candy bar. 15, who said 15? Whoa, this is great. What are we talking about this morning? Anybody got that? We're not that far yet, okay. Great faith, it's about great faith. Matthew 15, verse 21. 15, verse 21, this is a great account here. Love this little account. Matthew 15, verse 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou hast even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." What a great, great account there. Let's pray. And this lady has great faith. According to God, she has great faith. That's the Holy Spirit's account of her faith, is it's great faith. And so let's pray. And that's going to be the subject this morning, is great faith. Father, I pray this morning, I thank you for your words. Thank you for each soul that's here. I pray that you would bless each soul for being here, and those that are watching maybe can't be here. I pray that you would help us learn our Bibles, help us exalt Jesus Christ and make more of him, not just this morning, but in our lives, but we'd be able to see more of him this morning. I pray that you would help each individual here, and wherever the needs are, to address them as we go through these words. And for the teachers that are teaching, that you'd fill the teachers with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ and righteousness in Christ and eternal life. It's a free gift. I thank you for these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Great faith. And just to note, the heater is on. So let me just wipe the sweat off my face here. Yeah, I know y'all are okay. That's good. As long as y'all are okay, I'll just deal with it. Was it? All right, does it okay in here? Okay. All right. Well, the heater is on. Hey, maybe I'll do that. I gotta do something with the mic. Is the thing? Yeah, that's a different kind of church, right? Wow. This table, take away that candy bar from that table. All right. Okay, on that note, On that note, we're going to talk about great faith. So here in Matthew 15, here's a lady. Let's get a little context here. This lady, Bible says she's Canaanite. She's not from Israel. Her nation, her culture has never had anything from God as far as words of God. They didn't receive the law. They haven't received any sort of miraculous redemption or anything like that. They're just a nation, just like us. We're just a nation, just one of the many nations in the world. And she, once again here in Matthew, you have this thing happen over and over and over again, where Matthew points out these nations, these Gentiles, continue to show up to express faith in Jesus Christ, and unfortunately, the majority and the nation Jesus Christ is sent to just is kind of set in contrast to that. So the Lord says, as you see, he says, I'm just going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but she's going to continually be persistent about this thing and try to get her daughter some help. And so that's the context. I mean, you've seen it. We've gone over it several times. Matthew records over and over that Gentiles would come to the light, while unfortunately the nation that Jesus Christ goes to, that was prepared to receive Jesus Christ, doesn't. And John would say it this way. He said he came into his own received him not. And so it's almost like Matthew's doing the exact same thing that Paul said. He said, I'm gonna stir up Israel with jealousy. I'm gonna show them that God was helping these other people, this other groups of people, by faith. I mean, they express faith in Jesus Christ. And so that was that's the linchpin. That's the thing. So great faith. Let's deal with her great faith specifically. First of all, it's this isn't complicated, but it's faith in Jesus Christ. This lady, when she comes for help to Jesus Christ, she's not telling Jesus Christ about how great she's kept the law or whatever law her culture has or anything like that. She is coming to Jesus Christ for the purpose of getting help, particularly help for her daughter. And so great faith is number one. It's faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus Christ was trying to get. This is what John the Baptist was trying to get Israel to express. Just like John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's the one. He has to increase. I have to decrease. Everybody look to Jesus Christ. He's the one. And so faith in Jesus Christ. And so she's going to get help because she goes to Jesus Christ. And so here's a little commentary on that. Look over in Galatians. We'll get a cross-reference to it about healing and faith and all that kind of thing. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. Great faith is, first of all, faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Here's what Paul said about it. Remember, in Galatians, Paul is dealing with folks who want to make the law the linchpin, the thing that someone has to do in order to obtain a right standing with God and things like that. So here's part of his argument here. Verse 5, Galatians 3, 5. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So just question, when this lady shows up, God's testimony of her is she has great faith. And that's why she's going to get help. She's not going to get help because she's necessarily a moral person or anything like that, or has turned herself into an Israelite or anything like that. She's going to get help because she looks to Jesus Christ for help. All right, let's read several of these. Verse 5, one more time. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curse everyone that continueth not in all things, so on and so forth. We won't go into all that, but you get the idea. So faith is the linchpin. It's impossible to please God without faith. You can't do it. So number one, her great faith, it's faith in Jesus Christ. And it's set in contrast once again with, unfortunately, the self-righteousness of the majority of the nation of Israel. Unfortunately, I mean, obviously the apostles, they're Israelites, but the majority of the nation of Israel is kind of set in contrast with their faithlessness, which Paul talks about in Romans. So number one, faith in Jesus Christ. Look over in Acts chapter 20, before we get back to Matthew, and see what else is said about faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. This is Paul talking. Paul says this, Acts 20:20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So who is that? That goes to the Jews, the Greeks, everyone. Once Jesus Christ, everything in Israel's culture pointed to Jesus Christ. When he shows up, unfortunately, the nation that had been prepared for the Messiah's coming hadn't prepared their hearts, and so they're set in contrast with these Gentile nations who had no law and had no real relationship with God. They start showing up to the light, kind of like moths to a porch light or something. They start showing up to the light. And so ultimately, it's about faith in Jesus Christ. That was the point. So faith in Jesus Christ, that's great faith. That's where it starts. Next thing about her, not only is her great faith in Jesus Christ, but probably something you admire about her and I admire about her is she's very persistent. She's very persistent. Go back to Matthew. And I guess if it was your daughter, you'd probably be persistent too, but she's very persistent. And none of this, you could say none of this, just like Jesus Christ says, is necessarily in his plan. He's going to the nation he's prepared for himself, and he's not really headed to any Gentile nations, not yet anyway. So none of this is really in his plan, but her persistent faith. She says, he answers her not a word. Verse 23, Matthew 15:23. Disciples came, besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. He answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. It's almost like he's having a private conversation with his disciples, kind of explaining what's going on, and you know he's not going to other nations right now. We're not going to Judea or Samaria or anything like that. We're focused on the house of Israel because that's the nation I prepared to receive me. And so he's explaining that to the disciples, and here comes this lady again, and she just falls down and she worships him, and she says, "Help me! I need help. My daughter needs help." And he answers and says, verse 26, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she was offended and went away. And it doesn't say that, obviously. She isn't offended and went away. She doesn't care what he calls her as long as her daughter gets healed. He doesn't really care what he calls her. And so that is persistent faith. That is something that her faith is stronger than the insults, I guess you could say. Her faith is stronger than the ignoring. You know, she goes and the disciples kind of shoo her away, and Jesus Christ is kind of just ignoring her for a while. And her faith, even through all that, she pushes through all that. And it's pretty instructive. The Lord says, this is great faith. So here's a question for us. How your faith, how does it deal with insults, and how does it deal with maybe you feeling like God's ignoring what you're saying or something like that? I mean, a lot of people, there's folk, we're all like this, but some are more temperamental in this way, I guess, and take insults to heart. I mean, everybody, we all want to be liked by people. You all want people to like you, but her faith is such that it really doesn't matter whatever Jesus Christ calls her. The point is, I want to get my daughter some help, and I know you're the only man that can do it. And that's what I know. And so if you want to call me a dog, you can call me a dog. Dogs eat crumbs. I'll take that. If that's what you got, I'll take that. And so she is very, very persistent. And there's a great verse that goes with either being offended or having faith. Because you might think that your offense is caused by someone else. And maybe there is something somebody says or something somebody does that brings offense to your heart. But the fact that you've been offended, there's probably more to it than just that. And I'll give you a verse for it. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 165. You probably know this verse. Psalm 119 and verse 165. This lady's faith is persistent. She, when I say persistent, the insults don't phase her. At least they don't phase her enough to stop what she's doing. I mean, they may make her mad, they may hurt her feelings, but not enough to stop what she's doing. The ignoring her doesn't phase her. Psalm 119, verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and what? Nothing. Yeah, nothing shall offend them. So, offenses. They will come. They will come. They will come. And the difference is being prepared for the offenses. Is the difference is faithfulness. The difference is, Do I love the words of God? Do I love Jesus Christ enough? Because the offense means I have been taken off track now. This thing came in my life, and I was serving God, and this thing came in my life, and now I'm done serving God. I'm not going back to that because this hurt my feelings, or because this got in the way, or this made me mad, or these people made me mad, or this thing. The point is, an offense is something that it gets you off track, and her feelings may have been hurt, and they probably were hurt, but not enough to derail her from trying to get her daughter some help. So, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Your feelings might get hurt, but I'm going to keep going serving God in spite of my feelings getting hurt, because I'm not going to let this thing keep me or stop me from serving God. Just like she says, whatever you call me, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. I just want my daughter to get some help, and I know you're the only one that can help her. So great faith, peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Not that you won't have feelings or emotions about being hurt and things like that. The point is it going to cause you to get off track? There's probably people who were here at one time or were in a church at one time, and you know there are, that aren't in a church now because they got offended. Something happened. I don't like those people. The people did something bad, or I think they did something bad, or they didn't run it the way I wanted to run it, or they didn't do it the way I want to do it, and so I'm not there anymore. And it's not that they're not there anymore, it's that they're not even anywhere anymore. It's an offense that's caused them to get off track. Not this lady. Not this lady. She is persistent. She is very, very persistent. And in spite of the Lord saying, you're not even in my plans right now. I'm not going to your nation right now. I'm not addressing your nation right now. I'm going to the place that I prepared for my coming. But nevertheless, and you find this true throughout the Bible, where God finds faith, he responds to faith. The Lord was going to, and the Lord did. He wiped out an entire city called Jericho. But in that city, there was a lady named Rahab who had some faith. And she hid some spies and all that. And she's recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 as having faith. And so, her culture was, her city was destroyed and taken down by the Lord and by the Lord's army, by the Israelites. But where the Lord found faith, he rescued her and he rescued her whole family. He finds faith in Ruth. He finds faith in everywhere he finds faith, he responds to that. You'll see that all through the Bible. So that's the linchpin, and he explains it in Hebrews 11. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So her faith is, number one, it's in Jesus Christ. Not complicated. It's in Jesus Christ. She's not trying to Judaize herself. She's just trying to get to Jesus Christ. Second, it's persistent faith. It endures insults. It endures ignoring. It endures things that would derail her from her goal of getting help from Jesus Christ. So that leads us to this point. Not only is it persistent, it's humble. It's humble in the face of rebuke, and it's an honest assessment. One thing faith does, if you trust the words of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the words of God. You trust the words of God. What you get is an assessment of yourself that you don't have of yourself. And I think we said it before, you probably are what you think you're not, and you're not what you think you are. And you find that out in the Bible, that I'm really not what I think I am, and what I think I'm not, that's about what I am. And so she gets told, you know, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Or she gets told that it's not good, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And she says, that's true. We don't do that. Mary Beth doesn't make a meal and then put it on the floor for the dogs, but the dogs will hang around and get what they can get. And she says that. She says, but the dogs, that's true, Lord. The dogs don't eat the meal, but they will get the crumbs. And I mean, it would just be something to see the Lord's face at that point in time. Like, where did that go? That's something. That's something I hadn't heard before. It's humble faith. Look over in Romans chapter 12. You get an honest assessment of yourself. You get an honest assessment of yourself. And if you're willing to take the honest assessment, that honest assessment will help you to change your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. So what do you do? What do you do when the Lord tells you what you are? That's yeah. I mean, it's may make you mad. I don't know. It may hurt your feelings. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Point is, thinking more of yourself than it is right, and faith will correct that. I mean, the words of God will correct that. It'll tell you you are something, and when you get that information, you are exactly what God says you are. And the question is, when you find that out, what do you do with that? Some people make it maybe the Bible's fault or the preacher's fault or something when they find out, you know, I am this. I am this adulterer. I am this covetous person. I am this angry soul. I am this person. And when they find that out, it's like, why did that guy say that? I like the way that guy talks. I don't like the way that guy teaches or preaches. I don't like what he says. It's not, if you're getting stuff from the Bible, it's not what he says. It's just Bible. It's just an assessment of yourself. Humble faith is, it's needed. But one of the most, you know, we talk a lot about mental disorders and psychological problems and things like that. One of the most common and most destructive psychological problems and mental disorders is self-deception. I think I'm something that I'm not, and I think I'm not something that I actually am. Let me show you something. Look in James chapter 1. Humble faith, it'll eliminate all that. You just accept what God says about you. James chapter 1, you know these verses, I'm sure. You would probably say, if somebody came in here, or you saw somebody on the side of the road or walking on the sidewalk, barking like a dog and acting like a dog, and then you try to have a conversation with them and they act like a dog, or they tell you that they're a dog, you would say, that person's crazy, insane. Then, right before they bite you on the leg there, you say, that guy's crazy. Why is he crazy? Because he thinks he's something he's not. He believes he's something he's not. Well, it may not be you think you're a dog. You may think you're a righteous soul. You may think you're a Christian. Let's read James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Self-deception. I'm a dog. You're not. No. You're a human being. Well, I'm a woman. No. You're a man. I'm a man. No, you're a woman. This stuff, it's gone crazy. And it's right here in the Bible. It's because people don't believe the Bible. They don't believe a lot of things that are reality. So here's what he says. Be doers of the word. Now, he's talking to people who have the word of God. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So it just tells him what he is. The mirror just says what you are. You got the blemish, you got the pimple or whatever. It just shows you that's what's there. It doesn't make any, it just, this is what you're dealing with. For he beholdeth himself, verse 24, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And that's true. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Wow. That's that's rough. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's a tough assessment. That says you Some folks, maybe you're not this way, maybe you are, but I've noticed, and you probably noticed this too, some people, particularly in our independent circles, talk about, well, you know, we have the King James Bible, and we believe it. Yet, it doesn't mean anything to them because it doesn't affect their lives in any way. But that is almost held up as a standard of righteousness. It's almost like James says, okay, you have a mirror. Good. Now use the mirror. Use it. Because you keep using, you keep looking at yourself and you go away and your hair's all disheveled and you're still, and you think you're something because you have a mirror. A lot of people have mirrors. The point of having a mirror is to use the mirror. And so he's addressing people who have the words of God. They won't do anything with them. They just look in the mirror and maybe, just maybe admire themselves for what they think they are. I don't know. They go away and they forget, you know, I got pimples here and I didn't comb my hair and, you know, I got stuff in my teeth and, but I'm not looking at the mirror anymore, so I don't really care about it. You get the idea. The point is, humble faith. Going back to the lady that we're talking about, this mom, she gets told it's not good to take the food and give it to dogs. And she says, "That's true, Lord. That's true. I am a dog, but even the dogs get crumbs." And she just accepts. That's what I am. This is what I am. My nation has no association with God. The culture I come from doesn't care about God in any way. The culture I come from wasn't given any light by God. We don't have a law. We don't have the oracles of God. We didn't have any prophets. We don't have any of that stuff. And so my culture is just a culture of darkness. Nevertheless, I am here to get some help for my daughter, and you're the only one that can help her. Humble faith. It's humble. Then lastly is this, back over in Matthew, persistent, you got to admire her persistence, humble faith, faith in Jesus Christ, and it's faith that gets answers. This is the faith that gets answers. You want to see, I tell you what, before we deal with this last point, you want to see how serious God is about humility? You want to see how serious he is about humility? You guys remember Ahab? Bad king. You probably know who he is. Ahab, terrible king. Wicked, wicked king. Look in 1 Kings 21. This is how serious God is about humility. 1 Kings 21, before we move on to this last point. 1 Kings 21. And verse 25. Now I can only tell you this story if you have some context and know that Ahab is a bad guy. And Ahab isn't just a bad guy. He's really bad. He is wicked. He's more wicked than any other king before him, the Bible says. And so here's what God says. 1 Kings 21. This is how serious God accepts and takes humility. 1 Kings 21, verse 25. "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words," so he got some preaching, "when he heard those words, that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days." What? "But in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." So the Lord says, because Ahab's terrible. He's a terrible king. He's wicked. He did more to destroy the nation of Israel than anybody before him. And then he heard some preaching. He didn't do this regularly. He did this time. He heard some preaching, and instead of getting mad at the preacher, he did something none of us have ever done. He put on sackcloth, and he humbled himself, physically humbled himself. And God looked at that man, and he said, well, because he's done that, we're just going to put off the judgment for a while. I'm just gonna move it back a little bit. We'll just hold off on that. Not because he's a good man, not because he's righteous, not because he keeps the law, because he humbled himself when he was told what he was, then I'm just gonna withhold my judgment for a while. We'll put it off. And if you want to find out how serious God takes humility, that's a good place to find it out. Because Ahab isn't a good man. But he humbled himself when he heard the preaching. And he did something, let's think about it, in our lives. When God shows you what you are, here's what Ahab does. The Bible says, he put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. You know what most of us will do after preaching? We'll go to the buffet or whatever. You know what that is? And this man, you would say, this guy's a wicked guy. But this guy did more to humble himself than most Christians who say he's wicked. He did some things that humiliated and humbled himself before God, and God said, because you did that, I'm going to let the judgment pass for a while. You talk about God, he honors humility. He honors faithful humility wherever he finds it. And then lastly, so he finds it in this, found it in Ahab at the end of his life there. Back over to Matthew chapter 15. Faith that gets answers. That's the whole point of this, is to get an answer. But you got to go to the right source. You got to come with the right attitude. And trust that Jesus Christ is the one that's going to do it. Faith that gets answers. Verse Matthew 15, verse 27. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what? This lady has enough faith not to say, well, if it's God's will, then it'll just happen. It'll just happen the way it's supposed to happen if it's God's will. You know what would have happened if she would have stayed home and said that? Nothing would have happened. And she would have said, well, it's just God's will that she died. Or it's just God's will. You know, she has enough faith to actually go to the Lord and get help. A lot of times the spiritual talk is, you know, well, it's just God's will. That's our excuse for being lazy. And it's our excuse for being faithless. I don't want to do anything. It'd just be God's will. But she has enough faith to actually, she hunts down Jesus Christ. He moved himself away from the multitudes. And she finds where he is. She gets into the inner circle there. And she persistently, Lord, I need help. My daughter needs help, and you are the only one that can help. Well, I mean, we have doctors in our culture, but they aren't going to help him or help her. We got medicines in our culture and Canaanite culture, but they aren't going to do anything. I mean, our culture is a devilish culture. We bring the devils in. We don't cast them out. We bring them in. I mean, this our culture. We've got money in our culture, but I can't buy these devils out of my daughter. So she hunts down Jesus Christ. She finds him, and it persistently, Lord, I need help. My daughter needs help, and you're the only one that can help. Well, I'm not sent to you right now. I'm going to the people I'm sent to. I'm going to the nation that I have prepared for me. Lord, I need help. I need help. It's not meat to take bread and give it to dogs. Yeah, but the dogs at least eat the crumbs. Can I have a crumb? Wow. That is great faith. And he says, you can go home. Your daughter's healed. Your daughter's healed. Just took a crumb from the bread of life to heal her daughter. Just a crumb. And I imagine she goes home and her daughter, whatever's been going on with her daughter, maybe she's been sick or just laying in bed, who knows? But she goes home and I just see the picture of going home and her daughter is up and about and doing some things around the house and says, Mom, you won't believe this. Just a few hours ago, whatever I had, it's gone. Boy, what a great, great faith. It gets answers. It gets answers. She went home or see her daughter. Her daughter's better. And you could say this Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The crumbs, the dogs eat the crumbs, but the crumbs go a long way. Really do. They go a long way. And in this lady, this great account of this lady, Jesus Christ says, and God the Father says, and the Holy Spirit of God says, that right there, that's great faith. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Faith that trusts Jesus Christ. Faith that is persistent through offenses. Faith that is humble and accepts the assessment that God makes of it. And then faith, that kind of faith, that's great faith that gets answers. That's the faith that gets answers. So what a blessed story this is and history this is. And just highlighting the fact that people coming to Jesus Christ, they get help. People who come to Jesus Christ, they get help. And when they come the right way, when they come in humility, accepting what they are, when they come in persistence, I'm not going to let this offend me. I'm not going to let this offend me. I'm not going to let this derail me. I need help from Jesus Christ. Those are the people who get help. They get help. Let's pray and we'll wrap this up. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Thank you so much for this account. What a blessed account. What great faith, as you said, this lady has. I pray we would all learn something from her. Lord, thank you so much for just the opportunity. You've given us your words. And you've given us an opportunity to trust them and to have faith. Thank you for eternal life, which is a free gift, righteousness, which is imputed to somebody looking for it. Lord, thank you so much for helping us. I pray each soul in here, Lord, would get help from this, and you would increase our faith. We need our faith increased. We need help in that area. We are weak in faith, we are small in faith, and we need an increased faith. Lord, please help us, and I thank you again for these words. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.